Welcome to Burnside at Home for Sunday, the 6th of March. You're very welcome as we begin the new series for Lent. This is the first Sunday in Lent, and we're each day on the blog. We're looking at one of 40 women who lead us from Eden through to Easter. One announcement for this week, if you're listening to this before Sunday, on Sunday evening, we are invited to Port Stewart Presbyterian Church to hear from Alistair Torrance, who has just recently returned from Ukraine and has been working with the Reformed Theological College there. So that's at 6:30 on Sunday evening in Port Stewart Presbyterian Church. So let's worship God together as we begin this series for Lent. And we begin by reading from Mark chapter 1 and verses 12 to 15. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said, "the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Jesus was led into the wilderness. He spent 40 days there, and then Satan came and tempted him. We are preparing for 40 days as we approach Easter, and we pray that we will know God's blessing as we spend this time together. I want to remind you, last Sunday we heard about the Torrances, who have been working in Kyiv in Ukraine, training ministers and leaders for the church there. This is Alistair and Sarah Torrance and their two children. They returned recently from Ukraine, and we've been praying for them and the work that they've been involved in. They are working with the Reformed churches, the Presbyterian Church in Ukraine, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in that land as well. Also, the moderator has launched an appeal, and we can give money to that appeal, which is going to be given to Tearfund Christian Aid and the Hungarian Reformed Church, all of which are going to be bringing aid to Ukraine and also to the surrounding countries as refugees come into those countries. If you want to give to the moderator's appeal, send donations to the church marked for Ukraine. You can make them payable to Burnside Presbyterian Church, but make clear that they're for Ukraine. Include your free will offering number if you have envelopes so that you can gift aid that amount as well. So let's begin by turning to God in prayer, and let's remember Ukraine and all that we've been thinking about. Heavenly Father, as we gather to worship you now, we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, and you would equip us, Lord, for your service. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity of gathering around your word in the lead up to Easter. And during this period of Lent, these 40 days, we ask, Lord, that we might be drawn to you and that we might hear your voice clearly. We pray, Lord, for Ukraine, and as we have watched the news over this last week, and we've watched people suffering because of the invasion, we pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in that land, and ask that you would help them as they seek to be witnesses and as they seek to share with those who are in desperate need. We pray that you would protect them, Lord. We think of Alistair and Sarah Torrance and the work that they have been doing there with the Reformed Church. And we thank you for the Presbyterian churches in that land and all that they're doing. And we ask, Lord, for Tearfund and Christian Aid and the Hungarian Reformed Church, as they will be receiving money from PCI to help with the relief effort and to help support the refugees. Lord God, we bring Ukraine to you, and we ask for peace in that land. We pray that Russia would turn back and leave Ukraine once again. And we pray, Lord, for peace there. So, Lord, we bring all these things before you now, and we leave them in Jesus' name. Amen.
First of all,
today is the first Sunday of Lent. And we begin a new series for Lent. We began it on Wednesday on the blog. We're looking at the lives of 40 women from the Bible, women who don't always receive the recognition that they deserve. And each Sunday, I'm going to revisit some of the stories that we've looked at during the week. So today we're turning to Eve and also to Hagar. And we're going to read a little bit of the story of Hagar from Genesis chapter 16. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived, and when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she is pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He'll be like a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility toward all his brothers." She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." That is why the well was called Beer Lahai Roi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore him Ishmael. Amen. And we pray that God will bless to us this reading of his word. Before we come to Hagar, who we're going to start with Eve today on this journey from Eden to Easter. And with Eve, we discover why we need Easter. We find out why Easter is so important. After all, we not only celebrate Easter every year, but we also have this period of 40 days to help us prepare for Easter. And 40 is such an important number in the Bible. Think of Noah and his family in the ark while the rain fell for 40 days. The Israelites wandered for 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus fasted for 40 days before his temptation. Last week we read and sang Psalm 40, which describes what happened at Easter when God reaching down to pull us out of the pit. So as we come to Eve, we see what happened for us to need a saviour to come and die for us. During the week, we looked at Genesis chapter 2 and how Eve was living up in a perfect world and knew no shame. And today, we're going to move on to Genesis chapter 3 and the fall. And suddenly, through the actions of Eve and her husband Adam, sin enters the world and the perfection is ruined. There is one simple command that they are to obey. It's Genesis 2 verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man, "You're free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die." And Satan comes along in the guise of a serpent, and they both do the one thing that they have been commanded not to do. Sin enters the world, and with sin, death. They are banished from the garden. And every single person since has been born with sin, apart from one, and that is our Saviour, Jesus Christ. They were given the freedom to choose either to obey or disobey. Some people will try to use these events to argue that God doesn't exist. They'll say, how could a perfect, loving God allow sin to enter the world? But this is the very thing, I suppose, that proves the existence of God. He doesn't force us to follow him. He gives us freedom to choose. But what happened to Eve also explains what is happening today in the world. Many will ask, especially at the moment, how can you say there is a God when all this is happening? How can you say there's a God when Russia is invading Ukraine? When women and children are being packed onto trains while the men stay behind to fight? How can you say there's a God when missiles are exploding in residential areas? How can you say there is a God when there is a madman like Putin who is allowed to do whatever he wants? But have we not been reading of similar men over the last few weeks in Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar invaded Israel for no good reason, carried away the residents of Babylon. God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to rule for a time, but we saw that God is in control over earthly kingdoms and decides who rules them. What happened to Eve helps explain so much about the world that we live in. Have you ever felt that there is something fundamentally wrong, that there is something that just does not make sense? Eve would be able to explain it to us because she lived in the world when there was no sin. She saw what this world was supposed to look like. We were created to live in a sinless, perfect world, but now the surroundings have changed and it doesn't feel right. Sin is the reason we see a world leader invading a neighbouring country and threatening nuclear warfare. Sin is why we see another world leader make rules and then totally ignore them while expecting everyone else to keep them. Sin is why we lie. Sin is why we cheat and then cover up our actions. All of this is such a mess that the only way out is going to be Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can offer us a solution to sin. What happens at Easter is the only hope that we have. So as we meet these women, we learn from their lives. Let's go with them to Easter so that we can meet Jesus. Let's repent of our sins and find forgiveness. This is why we exist as a church, to help people find the meaning of Easter, to help them trust in Jesus. On Sunday, at this point in the service, we're going to listen to a song by Andrew Peterson. It's called "Is He Worthy?" And you can, if you can get to the church blog, you can listen to it there on Monday. It's one that I've been drawn to many times during lockdown, and it acknowledges the problems with the world and then provides Jesus Christ as a solution. So the refrain grows, "Do you feel the world is broken?" And the answer that comes back is, "We do." "Do you feel the shadows deepen?" "We do." "But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?" "We do." "Do you wish that you could see it all made new?" "We do." This is what Eve is leading us towards in Easter. A world that is broken, but a world that cannot stop the light of Jesus Christ coming through. Second woman that I want to highlight today is Hagar. Perhaps not the obvious choice to lead us to Easter. She is a slave, after all. What's her claim to fame? Well, she's forced to sleep with her mistress's husband. She then has a child with him. This unsurprisingly causes tensions in the family, and then the family reject her. She runs away, and when she does, she comes to the most remarkable and yet simple revelation about Jesus, which helps explain what Easter is all about, and we need to understand it today as well. You see, sometimes it takes a trauma of life for us to learn a simple truth about God. In times of trouble and difficulty, we have to rely on Christ more often. We learn to trust him more extensively. And when Hagar meets with God, this is what happens. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her. "You are the God who sees me." For she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." It may be a simple observation. It may even be obvious, but it is so profound. Near the spring, in the darkness that Hagar discovers that God sees her. And that word "see" means to look intently, to notice, to examine. You don't see somebody with just a fleeting glance. You only truly see someone by looking intently at them over a lifetime. And that's how God sees us. And when he sees us, he realizes our greatest need. To know that God sees us is what Easter is all about. God never misses what his children need. He sees us and knows that our greatest need is forgiveness. This look that Jesus gives us is a deep, penetrating look. At Easter, our deepest need is met. God knows what we need because he sees. He looks carefully. And he notices what we need. Hagar felt alone, as though no one could see her. She could die and no one would notice her. Sometimes we may think that we're alone in this world and that no one understands how we feel, but we're truly never alone. God sees. We may think that there is no one to hold us accountable, but there is God. We need to remember that there's not a person in this world who God does not see. We are held accountable by him. People are important enough for God to see them. If we want to display Christ in this world, then we need to start noticing people. Because Jesus notices everything. He sees the sin of this world, and yet he still comes to us to offer us salvation. We need to remember as well that there's nobody who is outside the reach of his salvation. Tuesday night past was our presbytery meeting, and we had a time of prayer for Ukraine, as we did on Wednesday morning here in Burnside. And you can join us again this coming Wednesday for prayer. And one person in that time of prayer prayed for the salvation of Vladimir Putin. And I thought for a moment, oh, steady on, let's not lose our heads here. Maybe if we got him to treat his force, get his forces to retreat, that would be enough. But why not pray for his salvation? That would bring about an immediate retreat. We need to see those who are in this world and see what their greatest need is. This story of Hagar compels us to see others, to notice the details. If God can see us, that's a problem, because then he knows about all of our sin. And yet it isn't a problem, because he still loves us. And he still comes to die for us despite our sin. That is what forgiveness looks like. And that is what we then have to offer the world. As a church, we need to see the need all around us. So here we are approaching Easter. It is just a few weeks away. Let's remember that we do not sort out our sin ourselves. It is only through Christ that we are forgiven. It's only in Christ that we have a purpose in life. And so we remember the grace that Jesus Christ offers us. And we accept that grace. And we trust in him. And we pray that he will be with us. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these women who are leading us from Eden right through to Easter. And we thank you, Lord, for the message of your salvation that is being revealed to us. We thank you that you are the God who sees us. And therefore, Lord, we come to you to see you this day and pray that you might speak into our hearts. Lord, be with us, we pray. And now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.